today on Living on Every Word.
God has for you and me a rest, so that when we go through temptation and we go through trial, there's this gentle and quiet spirit in our lives that says, God is in control, God is Lord, and I'm going to trust Him. There's a peace that God wants you to enter into today.
One of the outcomes of trusting God is the sense of peace, no matter the circumstance. In today's study, Pastor Mike Fritcher shares with us several areas where God wants us to find rest, notably in our finances and in our marriages. In this third study of the resurrected words of Christ, Be Found Believing.
Living on every word.
We are in John chapter 20 for just a few moments as a way of introduction. We are looking at living the resurrected words of the Lord Jesus Christ. When Jesus was resurrected, He spoke some very specific principles. And in verse 24, the Scripture says, Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples were saying to Him, We have seen the Lord. But He said to them, Unless I see His hands, the imprint of the nails, and put my finger into the place of the nails, and put my hand into His side, I will not believe. And after 8 days, His disciples were again inside and Thomas with them. And Jesus came, the doors having been shut, and stood in their midst and said, Peace be with you. A couple of weeks ago, we talked about receiving God's peace. Last week, we looked at verse 27, where Jesus says to Thomas, Reach here with your finger, see my hands, reach here with your hand, and put into my side. And here's the word, do not be unbelieving, but be believing. Believe the promises of God. Believe who I am. Believe what I've done. Believe what I've come to do in your life. We looked last week, we saw that Thomas needed a sign. He needed to see, he needed to touch something physical in order to believe. And how often that is true in our lives. Scripture says that Jesus comes and says, Look, Thomas, you have this opportunity before you to be not faithless, but to be believing. And then Thomas says, Oh my God, my Lord. He says, Oh, now you believe? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe. Blessed are those when they are not seeing what they want to see, hear what they want to hear. When you look at the circumstances, when you look at the trials, when you look at the things of life, and they're not par in your mind, and they're hard and they're difficult, the question is will we believe? Because Scripture says, blessed are those who have not seen and are yet believing. 2 Corinthians 5:7 says, we walk by faith and not by sight. Last week we looked at some marks of unbelief. We looked at the mark of fear and how Christ says in the boat after He calms the sea, Listen, why are you so afraid? We saw another one last week of worry and anxiety, and we looked at Matthew chapter 6. We saw another mark of faithlessness, of mistrust in God, people, and circumstances, and how we become negative and fatal when things aren't going our way. And then we saw this whole thought of disobedience. Disobedience is a mark of unbelief. We looked at this in Hebrews chapter 3. I want us to go back to that passage of Scripture, Hebrews chapter 3. When I think about the fear, the worry, and the anxiety, and the mistrust, I always notice that if I continue to fear, if I continue to walk in worry, if I continue to walk in mistrust, I'm going to be disobedient. And this whole thought of faith is to walk in a trust, an absolute total trust in the work of God in my life. So we want to be found believing God even in rough circumstances. Children of Israel are an absolute total example of these things. And so the writer of Hebrews speaks of this unbelief. And he says this in verse 7, Today, if you hear His voice, do not harden your hearts as when they provoked me, as in the day of trial in the wilderness. Today, if you hear His voice, why? Because when you hear His voice, He is coming with a specific word to you. And it's going to be a word that you're going to have to embrace and obey. And if you harden your heart with unbelief, you will find yourself walking in disobedience. So I want to be open to the word of God. And so today, if God comes along and He speaks into my heart and speaks into my life, If he asks me to do something as a result of this message, if I open the Word of God in the morning in my quiet time and it comes to life to me and God says, look, these are the things in your life that are negative. These are the things in your life that do not need to be there. These are the changes you need to make. He says, do not harden your heart. Do not harden your heart. And a hardened heart is an unbelieving heart. Bottom line. It means that if I'll look at this, what God asked me to do, and if I don't believe, then I'm going to walk either in fear, worry, and anxiety, and mistrust in God, people, and circumstances, and then I'll find myself disobedient if I continue to walk in it. So he says, the warning is today, listen, if you hear his voice, don't harden your heart, just as they did in the day of trial in the wilderness. Verse 9, where your fathers tried me by testing me. They saw my works for 40 years. And I was angry with this generation. I said, they always go astray in their heart. They do not know my ways. And as I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Take care, brethren, that there not be in any one of you an evil, unbelieving heart that falls away from the living God, but encourage one another day after day, as long as it's still called today, so that none of you will be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. Because we've become partakers of Christ if we hold fast the beginning of our assurance firm until the end. And while it is said today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as when they provoked me. For who provoked him when they had heard? Indeed, did not all who came out of Egypt led by Moses? And with whom was he angry for 40 years? Was it not with those who sinned, whose bodies fell in the wilderness? And to whom did he swear that they would not enter his rest? But to those who were disobedient. So we see that they were not able to enter because of unbelief. Therefore, let us fear if while a promise remains of entering his rest, any one of you may seem to have come short of it. For indeed, we have had good news preached to us. We've had the word preached to us, just as they also. But the word they heard did not profit them because it was not united in faith in those who heard. God has for you and me a rest. It's a twofold thought in the rest of God. It's the thought of heaven. It's the thought of one day entering into heaven. But there's also this thought that when you look at Scripture, that there's a peace that God wants you to enter into today. And there's a certain kind of rest that needs to describe and define us as believers. So that when we go through temptation and we go through trial, there's this gentle and quiet spirit in our lives that says, God is in control, God is Lord, and I'm going to trust Him. Isn't it a whole lot better to face trial that way than walking in fear, worry, and anxiety, and mistrust? You become a wreck through the circumstances of life. And so there's this refreshment that God wants to bring to you and to me. It's a state of enjoyment where we enjoy the pardon of sin, the peace of conscience, the joy in the Holy Spirit, where we enjoy the increase of grace and hope, that we rejoice in no longer being a slave to sin, and we find our place in God till we find our final rest in heaven. For today and for eternity, the rest of God, God's rest in us, that finds ourselves with a peace and an anticipation of a wonderful, wonderful future. It is the increase of grace in this life and the promises of God's glory in the next. And I've got to say this again. Every time I walk through circumstances where I fear, worry, mistrust, and disobey, I am missing out of the increase of His grace today and what that grace does in my life. It's like me turning my back on what God wants to give to me in these moments. And that's rest. I'm going to ask a question. How many of you have rest today? Where you look back over your life this past week and you think that, man, I walked through circumstances where I was just a nervous wreck. You ever had those weeks? We walk as a nervous wreck. We walk in anger. We walk in the junk of this life. And I'm suggesting to you, it's just as Christ said to Thomas, hey, quit being unbelieving, but believe the promise of God. Be believing today. You know, God promises so many things. Promises to save you, deliver you, provide for everything in your life. He promises that every trial that comes your way, that you're able to endure it. The promises of God says that everything negative that happens in our lives that we have no control over, and even the things that we have control over, that He'll use for His good in your life. We have the promise of peace, the presence of God, the provision of God. He said He'd provide for every one of our needs. And that means when it's in the darkest hour or the lightest of day, that God is alive and He's well and He wants you to experience His life and presence. When I think about the promises of God, I think about how God comes to take away my sin and crush the head of the enemy and completely. How He's promised never to leave me or forsake me. How He promises to continue the work that He began in my life. Faithful is He who called you and faithful is He who brings it to pass. If He called you, He's going to bring it to pass, folks. I'm mindful of scriptures that speak of God justifying me and glorifying me and calling me, removing my guilt, raising me up in the last day. That God would give me nothing in my life that I could not handle. That He'd set me free and give me victory from every sin. The promises of God. He talks about opening our blinded eyes and doing such a work in our lives. And so I ask the question, if I look at all the promises of God and I'm believing the promises of God, then there's no place for fear, no place for worry, no place for mistrust, and no place for disobedience. But oftentimes when we hear this word of God and God calls us to some very specific principles, how often does fear rise up or worry rise up in our lives? And then we say, you know, I just can't do this. And we walk away from the word of God. And I've seen it many times where God spoke a word and we said no and God said okay. And then God became silent. And we walked 1 week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks, 4 months. And we wonder, where is the passion? Where is the excitement of God in my life? Where is the vibrancy that the preacher speaks about all the time? Where is it? Well, you left it when you said no to God the last time. And I think about how we as a people will say no because of fear or worry or anxiety. Or just because we're just going to mistrust God or not trust my spouse or not trust my children or not trust the circumstances in God's hand. And this morning, as I was mulling over this and getting ready to come to the pulpit, I thought about three areas of rest that God wants us to have. One of them is in the area of financial rest. Financial rest. Financial rest versus financial unrest. How many of us have worried about finances this week? How many of us have just fretted over just our pocketbook this month, this year? And sometimes it just seems to consume us and to control us. But yet God has a very specific word to give to you and me about our finances. So I want you to turn just briefly to Malachi chapter 3. Malachi chapter 3, verse 8. God has given some very wonderful principles on financial freedom, financial rest. Now, this doesn't mean that there's no temptation to stress over these things. It's just that you have this rest even in the midst of the financial difficulty. So I'm not talking about financial difficulty versus no financial difficulty. I'm talking about finding the rest of God in your finances. Okay? But I want you to notice what the promise is here in Malachi chapter 3, verse 8. Will a man rob God? Yet you're robbing me. But you say, how have we robbed you? Well, God says, in tithes and offerings. You're cursed with the curse, for you're robbing me, the whole nation of you. Verse 10, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, so that there may be food in my house. And test me now in this, says the Lord, if I will not, watch this, open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you a blessing until it overflows. It's the word of God. And then he says, verse 11, and then I'll rebuke the devourer for you, so that it will not destroy the fruits of the ground, nor will your vine in the field cast its grapes, says the Lord of hosts. And all the nations will call you blessed, because you'll be a delightful land. Why will you be a delightful land? Because you decide to obey God in your finances. Now, I'm not preaching this because I need you to give today, okay? I'm preaching this because I often notice that when God asks me of my own finances to do something, I begin to worry about it, I walk in fear over it, and I mistrust God. And one of the reasons is that sometimes I think that God may be speaking to me, and I think, well, I've already done my part. And yet when Scripture says, listen, it's not just about the tithe, it's about your whole heart and whether or not you'll say yes to me. Now, this is just one area of financial rest or financial unrest. And I'm going to tell you this, even in the seasons of my life when I feel like I'm doing what God's called me to do, doesn't necessarily mean that there's still not sometimes the squeeze that happens. But I know in my heart of hearts there's this rest that I've entered into. So that if there is a greater bill or something that comes unexpected, like they always do, it's okay. Because I'm resting in Him. Because I've walked in obedience. You've walked in obedience. You've let go of the fear. You've let go of the worry. You've let go of the mistrust of the circumstances. And you've trusted God. There's another area. What I'm just going to call marital rest versus marital unrest. Go to Matthew chapter 19. Matthew chapter 19. Verse 3. If you're new today, I don't usually preach on two hot buttons, but this is another hot button. Okay. Sorry. Some of the Pharisees came to Jesus, testing him and asking, is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife for any reason at all? And he answered and said, have you not read that he who created them from the beginning made them male and female? And he said, for this reason a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So that they are no longer two, but they are one flesh. What therefore God has joined together, let no man separate. And they said to them, well, why then did Moses command to give her a certificate of divorce and send her away? And he said to them, because of your hardness of heart. Because of your unbelief. Today, if you harden your heart. Because of your hardness of heart. Moses permitted you to divorce your wives. But from the beginning it has not been this way. And I say to you, whoever divorces his wife except for immorality and marries another woman commits adultery. It's a hard verse. I don't like speaking it. But I say all this to say that when you today are struggling in your marriage and you don't think you're one flesh and that he's too different from you and that your hearts are closed to one another, that's not what the Word says. The Word said the two shall become one flesh. And folks, whatever's happened in the past, I'm not speaking to that. I'm speaking to right now in your life. The reason why divorce happens is because of the hardness of our hearts. We don't believe the promise of God. That God has called us to be one and one flesh. You say, you're saying something to me that's just too easy for you to say. Listen, I understand that. But I know that in my life and in my marriage that there are times that we don't feel very one. We don't. There are times when we look at each other and say, well, you just don't think like I do. And if I allow that to continue and not apply the principles of faith to believe that we are one flesh, then my heart becomes hardened. And so what I want to do is I want to believe the Word of God. God says to give. And I walk in fear, worry, and anxiety over here, or I get under the Word and trust Him and give. Or if I'm having marital difficulty, marital unrest, what I want to do is believe the promise of God that we are one flesh. And I want to do that together. And so no matter what you have failed at, no matter what it has been in the past, today is the day of salvation. Now is the acceptable time for your marriage right now. And will you believe the promise of God? And find marital rest. A rest in your life, a rest in your heart that says God is in control of this whole situation, these whole circumstances, and we're going to just trust God in this because we're going to seek God with everything that we are. We're going to walk in forgiveness. We're going to remove the bitterness. And we want to be one flesh in practice, not just in declaration. There are lots of people who never go to the divorce court, but walk in a divorced spirit that God is just displeased with. Will I fear and will I worry and will I walk in anxiety and disobedience, or will I trust God that says that the believing spouse will sanctify the unbelieving spouse, that believes that I'm going to be the husband that loves my wife and lays down my life and lives with her in an understanding way and honor, and that my wife will come to walk in the respect that God's called her to walk in. Will I believe this promise of God? Would I hold on to this promise of God? Folks, I know that there's circumstances. I know that there's abuse. I know that there's some things that I would suggest at times for a person to get out of that for a season. But I'm talking to the vast majority of people that go from day to day believing that they are not one flesh. And if you're married today, may the centerpiece of your marriage be, we are one flesh. We believe this, and we will walk in agreement with it. We'll not walk in fear, we'll not walk in worry, we'll not walk in anxiety, but we will believe Him. There's a third area that I want to talk about, rest. This kind of sums it all up, I think. And it's in the area of contentment versus discontentment. Have you ever seen a discontent person happy? A happy discontent. A happy malcontent. Have you ever? You never see someone happy like that. A contentment in the life that God's given to you. Not a discontentment. I want you to turn to Philippians chapter 4, if you would. Philippians chapter 4. Remember, we're talking about believing the promise of God and walking in rest in all these areas of our lives. And I feel like this is kind of the foundation of this. Verse 10 says, "But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at last you've revived your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned before, but you lacked opportunity." In other words, Paul's been struggling. He's been struggling financially. And the Philippians have taken an offering and have sent him this offering. He's thanking them for it. And he says in verse 11, "Not that I speak from want, because I have learned to be content in whatever circumstances I am. I know how to get along with humble means. I know how to live in prosperity. And in any and every circumstance, I've learned the secret of being filled and going hungry, both of having abundance and suffering need, because I can do all things through Him who strengthens me." Notice what he says. He said, "Listen, I have learned the secret of contentment. I have this rest in my soul and my heart. And I am content with my circumstances. And I am content with it financially. And I am content in my marriage. I am content in these areas of my life." Listen, sometimes things are lean. Sometimes things are fat. Sometimes my circumstances where I'm suffering. And then other times my circumstances is I'm just plain just rejoicing. Sometimes there just seems to be nothing coming my way. And then sometimes it seems like everything's coming my way. And Paul says, "Listen, I know how to get along in humble means and in prosperity. And in every circumstance, I have learned the secret of being filled and going hungry. Because I can do all things through Him who strengthens me." When I look at 2 Corinthians chapter 12, I'm going to turn there. We'll close with this morning. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7. You see the Apostle Paul living this out. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7. "Because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations, for this reason, to keep me from exalting myself, there was given me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me, in order to keep me from exalting myself. And concerning this, I implored the Lord three times that it might leave me. And He said to him, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I will rather boast about my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may dwell in me.'" Watch this. "Therefore, I am well content with weaknesses, insults, distresses, persecutions, and difficulties for Christ's sake. For when I find myself weak, then I'm really strong." Now, what I love about this is that Paul says, I prayed three times. The great prayer warrior Paul prayed three times, and God said, "No, the thorn's going to remain because my grace is sufficient for you." And then Paul says, "Oh, that sounds better to me. It sounds better to me for the thorn to remain so that the grace can come and I be strengthened in the grace than the thorn to be removed and not experience the wonderful grace of God. Oh, if you say it that way, I know I'd much rather experience your grace today than all the peace that you might have to offer me from the outside. Say it that way, I want to experience the grace of God. And therefore, I am well content in the weakness, the difficulties, the persecutions, the struggles for Christ's sake. Because when I am weak, I find out that I'm really strong. I find the strength of God. When the children of Israel were called to go to the promised land, they came to Jordan and they looked over and they said, 'No, they're too big.' They walked in fear. How could we ever see the provision of God? They walked in worry and anxiety. They mistrusted their leaders and they mistrusted God in the circumstances. And so the scripture says that they said no to God and became disobedient. I want to ask the question this morning. Is there an area in your life that you know God is propelling you to move forward in the graces of life, but you're saying no to Him? Maybe you're grumbling and you're complaining. Maybe you're walking in anger over the circumstances. Maybe you're walking in depression today over the circumstances. But to be able to say to God, Lord, I want to learn the secret of contentment today through believing that whatever's happening in my life this week is happening for Your glory and Your honor to conform me into the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, I will gladly boast in the weaknesses this week. And will believe the promises of God. I'll believe the promises of God in the area of finances, in my marriage, and in every other circumstance so that I might walk in the contentment that God would have me walk in. Would you bow with me in prayer? Faith always finds rest. Always gives peace. It will always bring courage to obey. And it always makes the difference. Will you believe the promise of God today? Would you believe it? There is such great hope and such great promise for every one of us in this place. No matter where we've been, no matter what's happened in our lives, the grace of God is available to see us through. And I want to ask you, will you just believe today? They had good news proclaimed to them just as we, but it did not profit them because it was not united by faith. God wants to bring a freedom to you today. A great freedom. Maybe you failed before in a marriage and you're a new one today. I want to tell you, there's great hope for you today. God wants to show Himself strong in this relationship so that you might reflect the glory of God. That everything in my life that has taken place, whether by my own doing or by circumstances, God wants to use for His glory. So today, if you hear His voice, don't harden your heart. Agree with the Word of God. Agree with the principles. And find this life. Where have you been believing? And where have you been unbelieving? Folks, it's time to believe. Time to believe the promises of God. To hear the Word and embrace it by faith. And says, that's for me. If God says He's come to free me from guilt, I'm free from guilt. If God says He's come to take away the bitterness and the anger, I'm going to forgive. If God has called me to give, I'm going to give. And I'm going to trust. If God has called us one flesh, I'm going to believe that we are one flesh. And I will praise God for that. I'm going to believe the promise of God. I'm not going to walk by sight, but I'm going to walk by faith in the Word of God. Because I've learned, folks, that sight can be very deceitful. Very deceitful. To get God's perspective from what God is doing is where I want to be. So that I might believe the promise of God. Where have you been unbelieving today? Would you just confess it to Him today and say, Lord, I don't need to thrust my hands into Your side today. I just need to embrace the Word.
Mike Fritcher is the pastor of Cottonwood Baptist Church near Dublin, Texas. If you would like to hear this broadcast or any other sermons from our audio library, or if you feel led to support this ministry, please visit us online at livingoneveryword.org.